Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Oh, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the rarely seen Tuesday edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Mac. Let's call this the cheap movie podcast. I'm Mac Cause. That is Bob Mac.
We'll call it the 250 Tuesday edition.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, they used to have $2.50 movies on Tuesday. I don't remember exactly what they were normally, but 250 was a hell of a discount.
Yeah.
And so all the kids would go see movies on Tuesday. The Eaton Center was erupting at the seams with teenaged life on Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was more in Etobicoke, but it was same thing.
I remember going to... They used to have a cinema at the Eaton Center in the basement.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
And no, but there's probably a lot of listeners who didn't know that, but they used to have one in the basement of the Eaton Center. And that's where I saw the movie Breakin'. I went with Ben Suzuki and Rick Moore because we were all into hip-hop and breakdancing. And the Tuesday night screening of Breakin' at the Eaton Center had a lot of breaking out of it.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Oddly enough, it kind of erupted into a musical.
Yeah.
It was great. Great experience.
Great theater. You didn't go there for the Dolby surround sound. It was... Honestly. Put it this way. My cousin... has a TV larger than the screens at the Eaton Center that they had back then.
It's so true. And so tiny screens, dodgy seats.
Yes.
It was good. It was like seeing porn in Times Square or something. It was just like a really, it was an intimate setting.
Yeah, just without the penetration. I remember thinking about this, the 250 movies. God, doesn't that make you feel old? Like I remember as a kid hearing my dad, you know, talk about what cost a nickel. Like, you know, total Abraham Simpson kind of thing. Now, if I go to like some of the interns at TSN Radio and say, oh, yeah, I used to pay $2.50 for a movie. They're just going to look at me and go, did you serve in a world war? Like, that's what's going to go on.
They may actually look at you and say, what's a movie?
Yeah. Ugh, stupid kids. A lot to get to on the podcast today. By the way, give a little plug because we couldn't do it yesterday and you were working with your buddy Strombo.
That's true.
And you were sort of giving, I don't know what you can reveal, if anything.
I don't want to
reveal
too
anything
much.
Except that it sounds awesome.
We put on an event for Taggart and Torrens because they're Canadianity podcast. They wrote a book, which is actually really good. And I recommend everyone pick it up. But we did a book launch out of George's place. And so we did a live show with the Taggart and Torrens guys, and they're funny. Like, Matt, I always thought we were pretty funny, but they're way funnier.
No,
it's true. Like, that podcast is way better than ours. Way better.
Well,
They put more into it.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Like, that's
their life. I wrote all my notes on the streetcar over here.
Yeah, that's their life. If they don't do that, they're going to starve.
Oh, yeah. What else do you have in your life right now, Matt?
Okay, I'm doing a variety of radio shows. I got things.
You
I got
some
a wine
side
gig.
Hustles?
I got some side hustles.
All
I got
right.
A wine gig coming up.
Actually, who am I to say? You got way more on the go than me. What the hell am I doing?
Yeah, exactly. But it won't give away anything, but when do you think it'll be released?
About a week. We're going to try and turn it over pretty quick.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it was really great. So I apologize that I couldn't be here yesterday, but between Matt being at the cottage until about noon.
Yeah, 11.
Well, whatever. I couldn't do anything after 11. So literally our time was exactly wrong yesterday.
It was, yes. I had to go and deal with closing the cottage, plumbers, things like that. And also, man, am I bitchy. Like when it's time to finally leave. Like, actually, no, bitchy's the wrong word. I am forlorn to like such a nth degree. I'm standing on the dock looking out at the fall foliage, you know, foliage, yeah, whatever it is. And
I
I'm just
foliage.
Foliage, yeah. And I'm just like, this is the end of this season. And then, you know, dark thoughts and passage of time.
So do you have the sounds of silence rolling through your brain on soundtrack? Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Throwing that with a little Don't Fear the Reaper, and that's pretty much what it is at the edge of the dock. By the way,
you're not good with the passing of time.
I'm not. By the way, to Jason Voorhees, two middle fingers, buddy. I was up at the cottage on Friday the 13th, and I'm alive today. Suck it.
Now, did you think about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a 42-year-old man, and I actually locked the cottage door. We're on
an island.
We're on an island on Lake Muskoka. I am such a dummy.
It's, you should it's always block it, but that's the Parkdale in me talking. Before we get, we got a lot to get to today. We got a top five NBA storylines because
NBA starts tonight.
The association starts tonight. It's ball
night. Yeah.
Jeez, what a way to start the Celts and the Cavs.
Yeah.
Man, the NBA is just rolling sevens right now. We've got that. We'll talk about the Leafs. We've got some, you got some takeaways to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got a bunch of stuff, but before we do that, I need to point out that right now I feel like we are in a Canada's Wonderland. They have that seasonal attraction called Screamers.
Yes.
I feel like we are on the test site. You know how, like, for condos, they have the model home that you go into, the storefront?
And by the way,
at the storefront for Screamers because Matt's girlfriend has decked out the entire place. And I don't mean a few things. The entire place in Halloween gear.
Yes. And when Bob walked in,
I can barely see Matt because of the ghosts dangling off of the kitchen table chandelier.
Yes. And Bob's reaction when he walked in was priceless.
What did I say?
You were just, I don't even know what words. I just heard sounds. Like, you just looked shocked.
I believe I said, what the hell is going on in here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I knew that was going to be your reaction.
It's like Rick Baker's house. And for those of you, Google him. He did all the effects for all those old school movies before CGI.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a copy of Fangoria in here, but they're all cute things. They're not like creepy things. That's the worst. Like, you've got, I'm all Halloween. I'm all in on Halloween, but Matt, you've got like the children Halloween stuff.
What are you talking about? In the barber's chair. That's pretty scary.
I'm going to get going on our Instagram page because people need to see this. No, Matt, honestly, like, your house is decked out. It looks like my kid's grade 2 class.
Careful with the insults, as Amy, who of course did all of this, my girlfriend, left a text saying, make sure you hug Bob for me. So
I love Amy. I think it's fantastic. I don't need to ever ask you how is she, because I know she's great.
And the funniest thing is, she actually, no word of a lie, she actually said, I don't think I have enough stuff.
That's the best.
After she put it all up, she was disappointed there's not more Halloween stuff. The place is filled with it.
She treats decorating this place on holidays the way my mother-in-law treats food at Sunday dinner.
Yes.
I think I need another entree because I only have three per person.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's got to be two different meats and then some 100% sort of carbohydrate.
There is usually, I would say, 7 courses.
Yeah. For a Sunday, Christmas, for Sunday.
No, Sunday, right? Like, they'll be this Sunday. We should have people up. I brought people over. They never really recover.
Mm-hmm.
So shall we get into it?
Yeah.
So you got a takeaway you want to do first? Because I have an awesome one and one that I know you will hate.
Okay. I've got most of them involve Austin Matthews except for one.
Okay, well, let's start there because the one you're going to hate for me is an Austin Matthews takeaway. So
okay, we go with your Austin Matthews.
No, you do yours first because mine is the opposite of fun.
Okay, first off, a quick quote. I recommend everyone read The Athletic. Paul Campbell said the best player from The Athletic said about Matthews studying goalie instincts, the best players can jerk a goalie back and forth across the crease, opening up scoring room. Matthews impressively takes it a step further. He often shoots not where the goalie isn't, but rather where the goalie won't be. And this is in honor of the crazy goals he had against Montreal, ended the streak. Absolutely fantastic. So quick shout out there. But the one thing, the Leafs are playing the Caps tonight. I'm more curious to see Matthews without the puck and the defense and Frederik Andersen more than I am to see Matthews or any of the forwards with the puck, because the top three scorers in the NHL, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, and Ovechkin.
That's actually not a bad pronunciation of Kuznetsov.
I got to tell you, after I said it, in my head, I'm like, wow, I can't believe.
Did you spike a football in the end zone after you said it?
In my own head, I did that. Yes, I did my touchdown celebration.
Defensively, Austin Matthews, always interesting to watch as he grows, and you assume from season to season he'll just get better as he gets more and more adjusted to the game. But offensively, what's he going to say? Think about that snipe in overtime.
Yeah.
Against the Habs on the weekend.
And it wasn't,
and that second goal, when he basically chipped it to himself in a space, goes and retrieves it, one-man army, and then he is just on another level. I still don't think he's McDavid level.
No, I'm probably...
But he's just below it.
This morning, Austin Matthews is the best player in the NHL.
This morning. Which is a crazy way to actually determine quality. Yes,
I know.
Could have 3 goals in a game and you would say, this morning, maybe. Matt Martin is the best player in the NHL.
I'm just saying, body of work to start the season, I think Austin Matthews is the best player in the NHL this morning. Not by the end of the season, but as of this morning, October 17th.
And Ovi's been pretty good, too. This is going to be a really fun game tonight. Yeah. So do you want my not fun takeaway? I feel like I should just poison the well because it's impossible not to have fun with the Leafs this
year. So, Bob, are you...
My Leafs in six words after that Saturday game was, holy frig, this team is fun.
Okay, so you're getting the qualifiers on the front end.
Right.
Before... So, you know, we're in a house of Halloween right now. Mm-hmm. Are you the box of raisins?
I'm the apple. I'm the apple without the razor blade.
I'm the mini candy bars. You right now are the raisins. Go
you
for
are
it.
The bag of chips. I am the Starburst.
Do it.
Oh, all right.
Starburst, gross.
So bad.
So gross.
So people are talking about what Auston Matthews is going to be worth. And the better he does, the hotter the conversation gets. Because we know that McDavid gets paid, Eichel gets paid, Matthews seems like the next logical shoe to drop. And what's he going to be worth? And the discussion is, how do you measure that against the cap? Because you don't know where the cap is going to be. So if you pay him $11 million, what's he worth in 4 years?
And he's underpaid.
He's underpaid. And I'm sure his agent knows that. So then you try to bargain that. It's this big hypothetical game of what's he going to be worth and what are we willing to pay? So I had this thought. It's a bit of a CBA thought, Maddie.
Okay.
But doesn't it make more sense under the next CBA to pay players a percentage of the cap versus a fixed dollar salary? A fixed dollar number.
So if the cap goes up, then your amount you get that year goes up. If it goes down, it goes down a little bit.
100%. So say he makes 14.5% of the cap. That might be worth $11 million next year, but it might be worth 11.7 coming up. And then this way, the team always has that portioned and doesn't have to guess where it's going either, right? Yeah. Like there's just a lot of guesswork with the cap. And we've seen teams get burned with this before when the cap didn't go up recently. So right now, it's not part of the CBA.
Yes.
You can't do that.
Nope.
But I was thinking, doesn't it make more sense, particularly where the superstars are concerned, but you'd probably have to do it for everybody, to negotiate percentage of cap versus actual fixed dollar sums?
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Yes.
If it's supposed to be the spirit of a true partnership between the players and the owners, wouldn't that make sense too? Because everybody's revenue then is tied into the growth of the league, including the players.
Yeah, then everyone's on the same side. We want the league to grow because it means owners get more money and it means all the players get more money. It's a great idea.
Okay.
Why did you think I was going to hate this?
Well, because it was cap talk about Auston Matthews.
Oh, no. If it's anything about Auston Matthews, I'm going to enjoy it. I thought you were going to do, Auston Matthews is actually not as good as you think. Like I thought.
No, he's better than everybody realizes.
I thought you were going to go wet blanket.
No, I'm just trying to figure out a way to... I'm trying to figure out a way to keep everybody a Leaf, man.
Well, here's the thing. The way that's going to happen is if Mitch Marner can have 10 to 12 more subpar games, maybe they can sign him for a little bit less. Unfortunately, Nylander, what the Leafs need to do to help their salary cap, they got to get Nylander away from Auston Matthews because his point total is just going to go up, and those guys are so great together.
I hate to say this, but he needs the Steph Curry in the sense that he'll have that off stretch. For Steph, it was the ankle.
It was the ankle injury.
And it kept his dollar value on the free market down. And that way, Golden State was able to build a dynasty because Steph was so affordable.
2 years ago, there was at least four players on Golden State that made more money than Steph Curry. I think Andrew Bogut at one point drew a higher paycheck than Steph Curry.
That's the best. God, I love the association. So, so there's that. And then just... honestly, did you not feel in your gut, even when Montreal went up early, there's no way they're going to be able to hold back the Wave? By the way, I'm committing to the Wave.
Yes.
I love the Blue Dragon, but I think we should call it the Blue Wave. Because I watched, and remember they scored those two goals like within a minute of each other on Saturday night?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is the Wave.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Blue Wave that we spoke of. So I'm going with it, Maddie. Thank you for that.
So the Leafs offense is now the Blue Wave.
Got it.
Yes.
Done and done. So we probably need to start hashtagging that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that people stop hashtagging Mace Off.
Yeah.
According to your Steve Mason.
Oh, yeah, Mace On, Mace Off.
The worst. But, you know, it's so bad. It's, you know, so bad it's charming.
I never thought it was actually good.
It's the mega force of nicknames.
Did you read Emily Kaplan, writer for ESPN? She did an article about Auston Matthews. And... do you know that his image has never appeared yet on a billboard inside the city of Toronto?
Is that true?
Yep.
Dion Phaneuf was hawking watches, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dougie was, of course, the cow.
Matthews, yes. Oh, the cow. That milk commercial.
The milk commercial from back
dancing.
In the day.
Oh, that was horrible.
I don't really remember Matt's face up anywhere. Domi had some play.
Domi has a lot of play.
Not as much as he used to, but he used to sell.
He still is selling. He's got
a George Foreman vibe to him. He's out there selling.
Oh, Ty Domi would totally be like the less successful version of George Foreman.
We need a Ty Domi grill. He's got to get out there and have a grill.
He's got to like punch the meat as it goes into
so
the grill.
So it's not a grill. It's a meat tenderizer. The Domi meat tenderizer, and you just bash your roast.
Yes.
And then toss it into the oven for 5 minutes in a game.
Oh, and here's the thing. Do you know how he gets it in the oven? He hits it up with his ass because that's how he scored most of his goals. Just off the ass.
He serves with his ass. Yeah. He's got to serve it at the table with his ass. Just a butt cheek to the butt flank right over to the guest.
That'd be a great idea. And then the guest, you know, the snooty guest, the monocle drops in the champagne. I never.
Why I say.
Yes.
Let them tut and click their tongues and say, what is that Homer Simpson doing?
Yeah. He only has one. Good pull. He only has one ad. He's had one ad for a hockey stick. This is with Bauer. So sort of an interesting article about, once again, something I'm talking about, how the NHL and everyone is playing defense from keeping Auston Matthews to try to push him out to be a celebrity.
If it was percentage of the cap that Auston Matthews was making, do you think the league would allow him not to get out there and try and raise revenue for everybody?
You're right. If that was the case, then yeah, I think there would, it would be on everyone's agenda.
You'd think it would be that way now regardless, but
it's not.
It's a curious one, and we haven't even mentioned the fact that Mitch Marner, we're not exactly sure what his immediate future looks like. He's going to be bumped off the line with JVR and Bozak.
Yeah,
I got no problem with that.
I got no problem with it. Just like, listen, also Connor Brown's played really well. You can look at his demotion. Babcock, when he gets angry at you, if you try to define there's a first line, second line,
well, it
a
is
third
a demotion.
Line. Yeah. Oh, no.
Because of ice time.
Yes.
It's a demotion.
We all know it's a demotion. It's
just unless he's going to start skating the fourth line about 15 minutes tonight against Washington, which I don't believe he will. Then it's a demotion.
And it, but it's also a promotion of Connor Brown. That's how they're going to spin it.
Who's a terrific young player.
Yeah. I'm not worried about Marner yet. I'm not. It's just because it is so early. And
he's a kid.
Yeah.
And he's a kid. Look, we knew going into year two for him and Matthews and kind of year two and a bit for Nylander. Like, they're not all going to grow at the same rate upwards.
Yes.
It's not a straight line. And it's tricky because we who follow it in a straight line because we go from game to game to game. But their progress, like, nothing in life works that way.
No. And also, it's like, oh, Marner is struggling defensively. Well, when you play in a line with Bozak and JVR, you're probably going to struggle
a little
bit.
They struggled defensively when they had Phil Kessel on their wing.
Yes.
And yet they outscored the hell out of everybody.
But if you put Marner on with, you know, with Matthews, I bet defensively Marner would like the narrative of Marner being horrible defensively would change. It's the same thing with you take a great wide receiver, you put him with a crappy quarterback. Hey, how come star wideout only had 4 catches for 40 yards? Oh, yeah, because of the schmuck who's under center.
Isn't it amazing how much things have changed since that top line was Bozak, JVR, and Kessel? Because they were a mess defensively, too. But Randy Carlyle and that whole brain trust was just, all right, well, what are you going to do, though? Just throw him out there.
Phil doesn't listen to our coaches anyway. You heard the assistants, you know, that Dave Feschuk piece. Ah, they don't listen to anyone.
Can you imagine if Phil Kessel had been bumped down to the fourth line during that period?
Oh, my God.
I realize it's not a complete equivalency
of
two situations. But even still, like, he was never allowed to be. It would have been just insanity. The fans would have gone insane. An already. Yeah, there it is. Crank it up.
Like, oh, it'd be just nuts if Phil was on the fourth
the
line.
The sad thing of all the circuses that we watched under that administration, we never got to see the what happened if they benched Kessel circus.
Oh,
that would have been
for sports media, that would have been just manna.
I gotta say, DEFCON 2 or 3.
It's been a while since I've seen War Games. Which is the worst of the DEFCONs?
I think the worst is DEFCON 1.
Okay. Yeah.
And the easiest DEFCON 4.
Yeah. We got to check that. Yeah. I think, wasn't there 5 DEFCONs in
I think there's only 4. That I'm pretty sure about.
What was the password?
Oh, it was.
What was the password?
It was the Joshua.
That's right.
Right.
There you go.
And if you haven't seen War Games yet, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Spoiler, the movie's almost 40 years old.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we were outside the statute of limitations on that. Okay, so you've got your Leafs takeaway. I got my Leafs takeaway. Do you have any others? Because I want to get into the wraps too with the association starting.
Yeah, our top five is top five NBA storylines.
Well, I've left the Raptors out of it entirely, and I have a specific Raptors takeaway, which I'd like to get to if I could.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know, and I think people who used to follow our old radio show know that I love the Raptors.
Yes.
I love the Leafs, but there's something about the Raptors. I don't know what more means, but if I had to quantify it, I think I might even love the Raptors more. Been with them since day one, was at the first game, just insane for it.
Booed when they drafted Damon Stoudemire.
Sure did. Booed my lungs out. Ed O'Bannon. Ed O'Bannon. I believe actually the chant was "We want Ed," and yeah. I may have let it.
Is he in insurance now? Is he a broadcaster? Like, I don't know.
I just like the idea that he had a voodoo leg because he had a dead man's tendon stitched into his leg.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So we just like the idea that at the full moon he could go off for 50 points when his voodoo leg was activated.
Well, I think maybe why you may love the Raptors more is just because you have a sense of ownership.
Right.
You saw it when it begun.
The same way about the Jays.
Yeah, no one saw the Maple Leafs when they begun.
I've never seen them win a Stanley Cup, and I've lived through some really bad times with the Leafs, but that's not the point. The real point is that I'm crazy about them, and for some weird reason, I'm less interested in the Raps this year than I have been for a while, even though this might be their best team and is certainly one of their most interesting years in a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out why that is.
I think it's because...
Is it Austin Matthews and the boys? Is it just you only have so much excitement to go around?
I think that drains some of it away. Absolutely. That should not be discounted. You know, it's like your sports fandom. It's a gas tank. You know, it can only fill so much and then it's full. And Matthews is certainly taking more of it. I think part of it is we know what it is. We know who this team is. We know who the coach is. We know DeRozan. We know Lowry. I mean, I think it's like seeing a sequel to a movie franchise that you're a big fan of.
So it's just like Fast and Furious 7?
I was actually going to bring that up. It's absolutely Fast and Furious. You kind of know how it's going to happen. You know the notes. And it's the same thing with the Raptors. By the way, if everyone listening wants to make $1 billion, here's what you do. Whoever the Raptors play in the first round of the playoffs, they will lose the first game. Just count it right now. And if they get to the second round of the playoffs, God willing, they will lose game one. Like there's certain notes with this team we know.
So here's why that's not as true as it seems. Because they're trying to usher in a whole new offense, and it determines the course of the future.
Yeah,
and they're struggling to try and find, like, how many pieces are being written now, and you watch them play, that they have to work against their own instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Can Dwayne Casey get this team to... play differently? Can Dwayne Casey himself live with the variance that goes along with the three-point shot?
Here's the thing, and you're right. That's the key question.
You don't get that in hockey where you say, can they take on a whole different style of play? It's more of a football kind of question where you went from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, exactly.
And will that work?
Yeah.
So this is, for Raptors fans, this is a huge question. Can they modernize their offense?
Here's my answer to that. No. When you said, the Raptors are changing their offense, people couldn't see it. I did a full Liz Lemon eye roll. And the reason why is because the Raptors changing their offense is like most of us going on a diet. We're going to do it. We're going to do it for a little while. We're going to want to do it. And early on, we're going to success. And then slowly but surely, we're going to be like, what's wrong with a glass of wine? And then it's like, bread and cheese. They do it in Europe. Carbs are fine. And then you're back to where you started from. And that's going to be the Raptors.
So Lowry is going to be holding the ball with 10 seconds left on the shot clock. And instead of looking around to see where can I swing this, he's going to have a bead of sweat just slowly rolling down his forehead. Mm-hmm. Like the junkie who says, must take this to the rack.
Yes.
And next thing you know, he's playing ISO ball.
Yeah.
Is that how you see this?
Or he passes to DeRozan with 6 seconds left. And listen, let me tell you, the Raptors can win a lot of games with that way. In the regular season. Lowry and DeRozan are really talented. There are some good players on this team. There's a lot of young guys that, you know, we're waiting to see if someone breaks out. Norman Powell is a great example to all the young players. Hey, if you work really hard and trust the system, you too can make more money than you ever expected.
So this is the other thing I think is really interesting about this year for fans is from that next generation. You mentioned Norm Powell, and now he's getting paid, but there's DeLon Wright, mm-hmm. there's Poeltl, there's Pascal Siakam.
There's the first round pick guy that has got a lot of upside but broke
OG
his leg.
OG Anunoby, which I think you're probably never going to say.
Anunoby.
Think of it as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I was.
Obi-Wan Anunoby.
Obi-Wan Anunoby. Damn it.
Bruno and Bebe. Is anybody from that group going to emerge to become a good NBA player?
Yeah.
Like a Patrick Patterson, reliable type NBA player that's a good rotation guy.
Yeah, doesn't have to be a star.
No.
But a guy who is a reason why your team won on that Wednesday.
You kind of hoped that Valanciunas was going to be that guy, but we're all sort of past that.
Yeah.
He's somewhere between Patterson and Andrea Bargnani. Bargnani, you knew after a while, would never turn into anything useful at all.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Patterson became quite useful mm-hmm. all the time.
Okay, yeah, I see where you're going.
And I feel like Valanciunas is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
He'll be useful periodically.
Yes.
So anyway, one of those next guys has to grow, and I think that's really interesting if you're a fan, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's just that they've committed to quality, but not excellence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they have. But because you know why? There's so little excellence. There is a minute, finite amount of excellence in the NBA, and 80% of it's on either Oklahoma or Golden State. Like, that's
Houston's
it.
Houston's pretty good, too.
Houston, yes. And we'll get to Houston.
All right. All right. So, yes, that's my Raptors Association ball night takeaway.
Okay. One final thought before we move on. Also, our big question is fantasy sports good for the fan? This came out with the Aaron Rodgers conversation. But one little shout out.
The poor, newly injured Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God.
Did you have him in fantasy?
No. I do have Andrew Luck, and I do have David Johnson. You know David Johnson, the number one running back in fantasy last year, who got hurt in the first game of the regular season? Anyway.
Are you like the SI curse now? If you get picked on Cause's team, it's like being on the cover of SI or the EA Sports.
I have been in the bottom three the last 3 years of my fantasy team. One quick little shout out to Naheed Nenshi, the mayor of Calgary.
That should not be as confusing as it was.
Naheed Nenshi, Nenshi.
Nenshi.
Okay, I got it right.
Yeah, no, but Matt, he's been a really important part of our nation's politics for the better part of a decade.
I understand that. That's why I mention him, Bob. Anyway.
Brian Mull. Ronnie?
Ronnie? His son is great on Entertainment Tonight. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Justin Trudeau.
That guy. He loves his taxes. Anyway, a shout-out for once again winning the mayoralness of Calgary.
You are just a wreck.
Oh, no,
what did he win?
The mayoralness. That was on purpose. And the main reason why is because he's still giving two middle fingers to the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Group that want the city of Calgary to pay $225 million for their new $500 million building. And when it's all said and done, it will cost far more than $500 million. And they basically want the taxpayers to pay 50% of it. And the mayor is against it. He's willing to negotiate. But please, I'm glad you won. And make sure that that group does not get all their money from from taxpayers.
The BMO Field conversation in Toronto didn't really get too many people upset except for TFC fans. And that was mostly because they didn't want to share it,
mm-hmm.
which they wound up doing anyway. But
soccer.
And what's it going to be like, though, when Rogers eventually comes to our city council and says they want to upgrade the dome?
If they don't get two middle fingers from everyone, they got the most sweetheart deal for that sky.
The
dome.
Sweetest of
oh
sweets.
My God.
Was it 20 million bucks? 30 million bucks?
Thank God I wasn't a taxpayer back then.
We'll see.
Yeah.
How long is it? Because when you go there and then you look at these other ballparks around MLB, don't you think this isn't going to be here for 20 years? There's no way.
It's a good point. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
you're right.
It may not be a hot conversation today as we talk about how do we get a better quality of grass or a better quality of artificial turf. We're still dealing with the facilities like they're going to be permanent, but there's no way. You know what it's like in April. Do you want to go to a ball game in April? I hate going to ball games in April. It's like watching a ball game inside a sarcophagus with that roof closed.
Yes. Oh, I 100% agree. And you're right. It's a good point. Eventually, you know, Shapiro and the rest of those ghouls are going to look for more money from the city. By the way,
and he's a building ops guy.
Yeah,
that was something he was known for in Cleveland.
Yes.
Was really getting in and the fan experience.
Fan experience. Bleep him and two middle fingers. All the people that Jays let go.
You don't have to say bleep him. It's a podcast.
I know, but
no, say it, man.
No.
Say
I'm not,
it.
I'm not
Matt,
going. No,
say
I'm
it.
Not going to.
Matt, I'm going not, to say it if you don't.
Well, then
if you don't say it, I'm going to say
knock
it.
Knock yourself out.
Fuck him.
Yes. Yeah, getting rid of Mal, getting rid of Sue. Like, and I know these names don't mean anything.
By the way, I don't feel that way about it.
I do.
I just needed to swear for
you.
Well, you obviously don't. I had to swear for you.
You know what? I don't need to swear to get my anger out. Like, there's so many good professional people were released for no reason at all. Bleep the Blue Jays. All right. Bleep them. You want to do a big question?
Yeah, sure. We can get into the big question.
So, and this came from a little while ago when it started a little while ago. Richard Sherman, cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks, talked about how the problem with fantasy football is that fans don't look at players who get injured and think that poor player. They just think, oh, that's going to hurt my fantasy team. They don't realize that football player has got, you know, a wife or kids and a home and a job, and that this represents a huge tragedy. And it got me thinking, is fantasy sports good or bad for the fan? Because I got to tell you, maybe it's just because I'm bitter. I hate fantasy football. I hate it, A, because all my players get injured. And yes, I do demean the players to just think of them as a unit of point, you know, gathering for me. But then also sometimes when I'm watching a game, all I'm doing is looking at the stats of my players. Like last night,
who was the Monday nighter last night, Matt?
It was Dante Moncrief, who got me 13 points, and versus Derrick Henry, who has 72-yard run. That's like, I got like 20, 21 points from that run alone.
I got home from doing the Taggart and Torrance show.
Yeah.
Flipped on the Monday nighter.
Yeah.
Saw it was Titans and Colts and they were at threes. Nope. Not doing this.
Yeah.
Click. But I don't have a fantasy team, so why would I possibly care about a stinky AFC South battle between a bad team and a floundering team? No star, Andrew Luck.
Yep.
I didn't care. And you know what that turned into? Turned into off. That's what it turned into. I just went and did something else. But if I had a fantasy investment into it, I probably would have watched.
Mm-hmm. And it ended up actually not being a half bad game, but just the problem is it's like Mariota sort of injured against, you know, Brissett. And it's just,
they were really getting to Mariota.
Yeah.
I was shocked actually how good the pass rush was. Or is that just the line is
part of the line? Probably just not healthy. He's not 100% healthy. So it's
hanging on to the ball a long time. But anyway, I digress.
But it just, it gets to the point, like fantasy gets sold that way. It's like, hey, it means bad games are interesting. No, they're not. They're still bad games. We just dress it up to be interesting. And I just like, I find I focus a lot on box scores versus the actual game. I find that I only, like when David Johnson got hurt, all I did was care about my team. There's no thought, oh, well, you know, hey, that sucks for him because now he can't do the one thing that he spent his whole life trying to do. And I know we always talk about how fantasy football is great for football, and I get it in terms of keeping people interested. But part of me thinks I would love to take a year off. I would love to take a vacation for 1 year from fantasy football.
Are you going
to
do a Ricky Williams on your fantasy football team?
Here's what... That is a great reference, by the way. Just the best part about Ricky Williams was when he's been interviewed on 60 Minutes. I forget who it was who was interviewing him. And the guy bet, Ricky, you will be back in the league again. Ricky's like, no, I won't. And Ricky was back. He needed money. Here's what I want to do.
Matt's going to go and do a year of hot yoga and find himself away from his team. What's your team called, by the way?
It is, well, I change it all the time. It's usually Max Fisher Productions.
Mm-hmm.
Just in honor,
reference to Rushmore.
Yeah, in honor of Rushmore. I think I've Richard.
Matt?
Yes.
I saved Latin. What have you ever done?
The fact that my girlfriend doesn't like Rushmore enough is maybe one of the top three things that's wrong in our relationship.
Really?
It really is. Like that legitimately.
Have you tried a few times?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
It is. Here's what I want to do with fantasy. I want to get together with all my friends and I want to do the draft and have the great night and we're eating and we're drinking and we're making fun of each other. And it's like we're 19 again. And then the next morning, we all look at our fantasy rosters. We place it together on a pile and then we light it on fire. We shake hands like men and we say we'll do it next year. I want to do everything about fantasy until the season starts.
I think it's great for sports, but you have to reconsider what sports mean now. I have an old-fashioned view of sports where it's about the game, but I don't think that a new generation of fan really sees that. You and I have talked about this a lot on this podcast, and the reason why I think the NBA is the league of the future is they're the ones who are best at understanding the game is just the first step of the content.
Yes.
And the NHL's terrible at that.
The worst.
The worst at it by far. MLB is getting a little bit better. And the NFL is so big, it's hard to know.
It's the only, we talked about this before.
They're kind of just an outlier.
Yeah. I mean, all sports need stars. The NFL, now, of course,
the NFL has gambling and the NFL has the fantasy thing. And
those,
I almost feel like we're having that conversation about the Salazzo deal in The Godfather. You know, we've got the bookies and we've got the unions, and that's the best thing to have now. But drugs is the future.
Yeah.
Right? The Salazzo, it's a little dirty for me. So anyway, my point is the NBA really understands it's the game and the content that comes from the game that is more engaging these days than the actual game itself. And that's weird for us who grew up loving sports.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
the soap opera has taken over.
100%. I think fantasy is a perfect example of that. We live in a data age. There's a quote that floats around. It's already overused in the same way, you know, the internet used to overuse all kinds of Jennifer Aniston sweater was how they always described e-commerce for the internet in the early days. I can watch an episode of Friends and go online and buy Jennifer Aniston sweater. I was part of that early adopter group.
Yep.
Heard that speech 1,000 times. Anyway, I guess my point is right now, fantasy is kind of where we're at with this. It's the biggest thing we got going now. Data is king. Data is the new oil. That's the phrase I was looking for. It's all about having it and it's all about mining it. I think kids are just way more wired into that than we ever were.
And I wonder how much that just, it's changed the fan experience. I'm not saying it's made it better or worse, but it's changed it. And I would love to have one year where I could just not worry about data, where I could just watch the football. A follow-up question to this, Bob.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. I believe the NFL is the one sport that doesn't really need stars. But in a year...
Because it has the game.
It's just, and it's every player's replaceable. It's not true, though. And I know, we've argued this. And by the way, I don't mean that absolutist. Every sport needs its stars. I think the NFL relies on its stars to market the game less than the other sports.
But without those star quarterbacks, you see how quickly interest in the league drops off when the quarterbacks are
gone. Yes, now quarterback is the one exception. And not even that, only a handful of quarterbacks. And not only that, really only... two quarterbacks.
Maybe, although Odell Beckham Jr. is probably the most popular young player amongst young fans.
He is.
He's got gif plays. I think that's the real key is, can I sum up what you do in a gif?
Mm-hmm. And he can. But I think the NFL, I'm curious about this. They lost one of their two cows. They still got Brady. Of course, the Patriots don't look as good as we thought. But losing Aaron Rodgers, I wonder, will that actually have some sort of tangible impact in terms of numbers, in terms of how much interest in the NFL? Because with so many bad quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, or just boring offensive play, losing Aaron Rodgers, he is the one Jenga piece. Because the NBA, eventually, it's going to be, who's the next LeBron? It was, who is the next Jordan?
And that discussion's already started.
Yeah, of course. But you don't really have that. You never really had, who's the next Joe Montana? It's like, don't worry about it. There's seven quarterbacks over there.
Right.
You know, oh, look, there's Aikman. There's Favre. There's Jim Kelly. There's all these guys. But without Aaron Rodgers in the current state right now, that's a big Jenga piece.
It's a very interesting point that sometimes a team or a game is almost a victim of its own success. It's possible the game is too fast now and the coaches are too good for quarterbacks to be good at their game. And we saw this in the NHL.
Yes.
How hard it is to score goals because defenses are great, players are better conditioned, shifts have gotten shorter, so there's no picking up easy, you know, easy grapes and apples because a guy's been out there for a minute 45. Like,
yeah.
All of these things contribute. In the end, it feels like they change the rules to help the offense and coaches figure out ways to ratchet up the defense. And that's the game that happens there, that kind of game within the game. I don't know. With gambling and fantasy, I'm not sure the NFL's interest will ever really drop off in the immediate future.
Oh, no, I think it'll still be number one. I just wonder, will we see, like, I don't think you'll see much of a dip when they lost J.J. Watt or when they lost Odell Beckham, but Rodgers is different.
I keep wondering, when are they going to regulate stuff like fantasy? Bless you, Matthew.
Thank you.
ESPN does its fantasy leagues, and that's great because they're a partner and they can do that sort of thing. But when does the NFL say, I don't want to give up this cash and I'm not willing to make this simply marketing? We're going to run our own fantasy league, and it's going to be the best league, and we're going to offer individual stats that you can't get anywhere else. Like, I'm curious to see, when do leagues simply try to control the fantasy themselves and offer up stuff, which I would describe as proprietary info. Kind of like ESPN has its insider. Mm-hmm. You sign up for our stuff and you get information that the rest of those schnooks don't.
Here's why I don't think that's going to happen. ESPN paid $1 billion to broadcast the Colts and the Titans.
Agreed, but that next deal, if the cord cutting and the broadcast deals go the way we believe they will, I don't see a huge leap in 10 years the way we had with the NFL deal or the NBA deal in particular this recent time around. Maybe it's always going to go, and I'm living in a dream world, but leagues and every business is greedy. And yes, that's a huge pie out there that they just give away.
Hey, greed is good, Bob. Greed works.
I've heard that.
It cuts through and it clarifies. You mentioned the NBA. You want to get to our top five because the season starts tonight?
You're going to hate my top five. I know it. Why don't you do yours first? Because yours is going to be way more fun. I don't know why when I put this pod together, I took these questions so seriously.
Yours are going to be so nerdy, aren't they?
They're so nerdy. Even I looked at this and said, what is wrong with you?
Like, Eric Kareen is eye-rolling looking at yours going, where's the fun?
Honestly, what? Okay. Matt, I need to spend more time in your Halloween emporium here. Get myself a little bit of fun.
All right, Bob, it is time.
By the way, I have an idea before you go on.
Yeah.
I was looking at how wonderful it is here because it's clean. My place is a pit. The food here is so beautifully organized in a fridge, and there's lots of it. I can't always make that claim. It's fun and seasonal. So I thought, Matt, what would you do if I rented out your Airbnb for a couple nights?
That'd be great.
And I actually stayed here, and I was a guest at the Matt Cause Airbnb.
You know what that would mean? You'd have fewer duties as a dad. And that's good for you.
Thank you.
I would love it. If you ever want to stay for it, if you ever want to do it, we can do the special Macko and Cause podcast, the Airbnb tapes.
I love that. I really do. We could record a pod. We could do it at midnight because I'd be in my jammies. And you don't have pajamas, right?
No, boxer shorts.
That's just weird.
Pajamas. Grown men shouldn't wear pajamas.
What are you talking about, Matt? You're sitting underneath a bunch of like grade two ghosts suspended from your kitchen lamp.
That's a very good point by you, Bob. But still. And what I'd want to do would be a podcast where I would just do this at like 3 a.m. and just put a mic in your face.
Like an episode of Jackass.
Yeah. Yeah, just but
spontaneous pod.
But then it'd just be I would just like yell out a hot sports take at you and just like, Bobby Orr, most overrated player. He got his fame came when the league was diluted. And they just put a mic.
See, I know
in
you're not
your
passionate about that. You would really do at 3 a.m. Kevin Durant's a big suck for going over to Golden State and he's ruined the league.
Oh no. He's not a big suck. He was lazy and chose the easiest route. He's not a big suck. That's right. So different.
So speaking of which, that may be a perfect segue back into our top five. Top five storylines for the upcoming NBA season.
What? Number five for me. What is regular season LaVar Ball gonna look like? Because we gotta tell you, we've had pre-draft LaVar Ball. We had draft LaVar Ball. We've had preseason LaVar Ball. But his son, Lonzo, looks like he is going to play. They're keeping him out for the opener, Lakers versus the Clippers. I want to see what does Papa have in store for the NBA. And I want all just the horrible misogyny.
Who's more interesting, the son or the dad?
It's not even close. It's the dad.
Okay, just checking.
I want to see just everything that the LaVar Ball experience is going to bring us in the city of LA.
We haven't had this really since probably the Lindros family. I'm trying to think of another family that so captivated a fan base.
Yeah, and the thing is, the funny thing is,
Serena and Venus's dad, Richard.
Yep, Richard.
He was really interesting, but I don't know that it was quite at the Ball family level.
No, and this is far, like the funny thing is, if you look at the Eric Lindros family, if you just took what they did and you put it in 2017, you'd be like, oh, that's quaint. Okay, a couple of things.
Or you put it
there
into the Manning family.
Yeah.
Because Eli did exactly the same thing to the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But apparently that was okay because the Mannings are not the Lindrosses.
No, the Mannings aren't. The Mannings are the gold standard.
Exactly. Top of the line.
They are Camelot. They're royalty. So my number five is I want to see what regular season LaVar Ball is going to look
now,
like.
Now, isn't that Lamar Ball?
LaVar.
Who's the dad?
The dad's LaVar.
No,
Ball.
You're right.
The
sorry, I get. I'll be honest. Like, even though I've adopted the Lakers as my new team, sometimes I get all the Ball kids mixed up.
Yeah. No. Yeah. There's another one that's in university, or I don't know.
I read one is going to skip high school.
Yeah, they're just going to be homeschooled and go to AAU tournaments. It's a great experiment to see how it all works out.
And for everybody who says that's like child abuse, it happens all the time in other worlds.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
Classical music. Yes. Or yeah. Anyway.
So that is my
okay. So that's a good one. I think that's a great one. We're all curious.
Yeah. Number four, I just want to see how the backcourt looks in Houston with James Harden and Chris Paul. Harden averaged over 19 shots a game the last 2 years. How is it going to handle with him now being off ball? Harden probably should have been the MVP last year. The only reason they gave it to Westbrook was because Oklahoma City's centers said, no, Russell, you grab that rebound because we want you to get 10 of those. So Harden should have been the MVP. Chris Paul, he knows his time is starting to come to an end. There is a lot of pressure on Chris Paul. Number four for me is how that backcourt will manifest itself.
I like that one very much.
Number three, my one political one. Adam Silver has said he expects players to stand during the U.S. national anthem, which has long been a league rule. The NBA also sent out a memo warning players of potential punishment if they didn't stand for the anthem. Now, the NBA is unlike the NFL or the other sports, really, where the players and the owners, they seem to get along to a certain extent. At least they get along better than in the other sports. Well, let's see what happens. And all the progressive, you know, people in Silicon Valley and all the owners, let's see what happens if a bunch of the players start protesting. I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
Okay. No, I think it's great. I want to address that too. So do you want to just discuss that now?
Oh, we can move on. We'll do it we'll pick it up with yours.
I put mine a little higher up for that, but it's the same kind of thought.
Number two, you're going to love this one, Bob. This is my most NBA nerdy. What will the Philadelphia 76ers look like in January? That's around when Ben Simmons, number one overall pick in 2016, should be ready to go. What if Joel Embiid is actually healthy and living up to his contract? What will the role be of Jahlil Okafor and of this year's first overall pick, Markelle Fultz? Like, there is so much just young talent. What if they're healthy? Now, if they're all injured and playing bad, we know what that's going to look like. It's going to be a disaster. But what if they're healthy?
Is there a new super team out there? One that's actually been homegrown?
Yes. Is it just, you know, where, you know, the water, you know, or tilling the soil as it's growing up? I'm curious to see what will Philadelphia look like in January.
And to add to that, watching the Houston Astros play so well in these playoffs, they feel like that was this is the way forward in a lot of fans' minds. I don't want even mediocrity. I certainly don't want losing. I want tanking, and then I want excellence. So we're going to go into these wild bipolar mood swings for franchises. I'm either going for the absolute ring or I'm prepared to stink. So Philadelphia did it. So I think that's a great one. And it's very topical, I think, in sports generally.
Yeah. And number one, I got to have a Raptor one. Simple. Can DeRozan take another mini leap? DeRozan is pissed off. 36. On Sports Illustrated, 39th ranking on ESPN, despite the fact he was a third-team All-NBA guy and Kyle Lowry missed a lot of games because of injury. And we could talk about Lowry's health or how Ibaka, can he work in the offense with a traditional center? But for me, DeRozan is already a star. And the hardest thing for a star to do is to get legitimately and consistently better game in and game out. Does DeRozan have another mini leap in him?
And so that's your list?
That's my number one for top five NBA storylines.
Now, I think that's the number one Raptors story, but I think if we're talking NBA, that's pretty inconsequential.
I know, but I'm a huge Raptor fan. I wanted to include it, and I wasn't going to, you know, I wanted to have it number one.
And that's why I built my Raptors into a takeaway, because I thought they didn't really fit in the top five storylines.
Yep,
but you know how, like, I'm a stickler. I should have been a lawyer. I'm a letter of the law kind of guy. So five, I agree with you about Ball, but I think it's more about Lonzo than the dad, because a healthy, good Lakers team makes the league a different place.
It does.
Especially if Boston is as good as it looks like. Wouldn't it be interesting if that young Boston team and a young Lakers team with a LeBron James on it next year suddenly became the new sources of power? I love the idea of that West Coast rivalry. Like, just a healthy Lakers is good for everybody.
Yes, it is.
And the Bucks, actually. Maybe this is a bit hipster, but don't you want to see how good Giannis is?
Oh, of course. My number six was Giannis.
He is so, like, I like Jabari Parker a lot, but this is it going to be Giannis's league? Like, is he as good as we think he could be?
Is he the second best player in the East?
I don't know that I can, in the East? Yeah, in the East, I think so. We'll see how good Kyrie Irving does with the Celtics, because it might be Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
We'll find
out. It's either Kyrie or Giannis.
Yeah, we'll find out. So my number five is the Lakers and the Bucks for those reasons. Number four, I'm going to lump all the super teams together just because it was a fascinating offseason. Mm-hmm. So we've got Houston to watch, OKC to watch, Boston to watch, and which markets gel fastest, which ones look like competitors earliest, and are they all going to work? Like, we just kind of assume if you get talented people together, it's going to work.
And usually it takes a year.
Yeah.
Usually it takes 1 year to get them all meshed together.
And OKC may not have that year because Paul George can move on at the end of this year.
But
so.
At least Westbrook signed. He resigned.
No, 100%.
So that could help bring keep George there.
The thing that's fascinating about it, too, is that they're all calling their shots. And the idea of the power of the player. I think the theme of this year in the NBA is the power of the player. Mm-hmm. Because my number three is LeBron's future. I don't think you can distance yourself from that this year. How long? If Cleveland starts out poorly and this little sort of weird cluster of Dwayne Wade and Isaiah Thomas, and they could be okay.
I don't think it matters to them. I think whatever the over, if you want to make a lot of money, another one, bet the under for whatever the wins are for Cleveland.
Because they're not going to try until the playoffs.
They're not going to try until the playoffs. We don't know why rush back Isaiah Thomas. Why rush? I mean, I think if you're in fantasy NBA, take Kevin Love. I think they're going to be like, hey, Kevin, here, go do everything you want to do.
Rebuild your confidence, rebuild your numbers, all that. That's probably really true. But here's why I think LeBron is particularly interesting. It occurred to me he's got a better comparable than Jordan. That the arc of his career might actually look less like Jordan's, who stayed in one place and won six with the same team in Chicago.
Yep.
He might actually look more like Gretzky, in the sense that Gretzky played for four different teams. And after LA, he was kind of just churning a little bit, like go to St. Louis, go to New York. You know, he was a point a game guy for St. Louis for half a season in the playoffs. He was still a really good player. But we never criticize or think that Gretzky's overall career was diminished or tarnished.
Nope.
By his, I mean, he's not nomadic, but I started to think about, like, how many great players have played for tons of different teams? Like, truly great players. How many have played for tons? Like, more than three different teams?
More than three?
The only one I could think of off the top of my head was Gretzky. Gretzky played for four teams.
He played for four teams.
He might have played for more if he would have stayed healthy.
Maybe Jerry Rice, San Fran, Oakland. I think he was in Seattle.
But was he with four teams, though?
I'd have to go back and check.
I mean, there's the hang-on factor.
That's what Jerry was by the end. He was just a hang-on factor.
Right, and you know what? I'm sure there are some, and people are yelling, but and you know what? That's fair. You know, like I said, I threw this together on the streetcar over here. But my point is simply, I am fascinated to see if and when he leaves Cleveland, what happens next? Does he go to LA? Can he build something there? And does it diminish how we look at him? Like if he goes, like right now, Gretzky with St. Louis, he went to, I think, a conference final with St. Louis and he went to a conference final with New York. But after LA and that championship run, does anybody really care?
No. No, after that, it was more asterisks and oh, yeah, remember wins.
Right.
That's with Gretzky with St. Louis. I remember the Rangers. There was, you know, a big deal, him and Messier, but yeah, no.
So I'm fascinated to see what LeBron's legacy looks like after this year.
Yep.
And I just don't think he's staying with Cleveland. So he's going to be adrift out there.
Yep, he will be.
All right. So here's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
How does the NBA handle race?
All right.
And you alluded to this with your anthem, and I think we can get into it here. And I would like to expand it even beyond the anthem. Because we know that there's something in the CBA that they're not allowed to kneel. People may do it, but the league's course of action, like because the NFL's got that open-ended policy, they can't do anything about it.
Nope.
The NBA has rules.
Yes.
And they'll handle it according to the rules. But you know what the NBA also has?
Mm.
The best marketers in the sports world.
Yep.
The players themselves. Those guys are brilliant.
Those guys move the needle. The top, there's about eight or nine of them who move the needle more than any other athlete in North America.
A lot of this conversation with Trump happened while the NBA was off. You know, it was the off season for them. And those guys are kind of, they're lurking in the weeds and popping out from time to time. LeBron's comment, you bum, you know, the whole Steph Curry stuff. But when they have mics in front of them every day for the next 8 months, how do these players choose to handle race?
All these players, and they see Greg Popovich. Like, yeah, Greg, that's great. Hold my beer. That was my turn.
That's exactly it.
Here's a LeBron quote about taking a knee. For me personally, my voice is more important than my knee. I talk to the media every single day. What I say, I think it should hit home for a lot of people. I don't believe I have to get on my knee to even further what I'm talking about. Great quote by LeBron James.
Yeah, and I think that really sums up why I think this year in the NBA will be fascinating, because those guys are smart.
Yep.
They work the mic. They're all image masters in a lot of ways. They all want to move to Silicon Valley or Hollywood and start their own production companies. You know, you don't get, like, Sidney Crosby doesn't have aspirations of running a media company one day.
He just wants to be
Dwayne Wade does.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Carmelo Anthony does.
Crosby would be happy with a cameo in a Peter Farrelly movie. That's about it.
Right. Like, just be Seabass.
Yeah.
Can I be Seabass in the remake of
But he wants to be a nicer Seabass. He doesn't want to have to be the mean Seabass.
He's the Seabass that gets everybody some Timbits.
And he's the Seabass that teaches you that it's okay to be yourself.
So let's see how this goes, because I think I would be shocked, amazed, if by the end of the year there wasn't some kind of maelstrom and the NBA players were at the heart of it and they were in control of it.
I wonder what the relationship between Adam Silver and the players will be at the end of this year, because Adam Silver has to deal with owners. And if a whole bunch of owners say, hey, all these same message, protests are hurting our gate and blah, 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 blah. Oh, no. Absolutely, Bob. That's going to be one of the number one story. That's going to be the number one storyline for the NBA.
And that's why my actual number one, you're going to hate. Mm-hmm. But hear me out.
All right.
The NBA.
You got 4 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, well, the NBA has a deal signed to do virtual reality highlights, and through a company called NextVR, 27 live games featuring all 30 NBA teams. I'm reading this here.
Yeah.
Will be produced professionally for virtual reality separately. That, to me, is the number one storyline.
I hate virtual reality.
I know you do, and that's why I said you would like this. And the race question is most important for today.
Yep.
But for the future of the association, getting a handle on virtual and augmented reality, that's going to change the game. And no other league is as invested in it as the NBA is. And I don't think it's going to be hot this year.
No, the technology isn't there yet.
Right? We know that.
Yeah.
But think about the owners that you've got in the NBA now. You've got Ballmer and Lacob,
Cuban,
and Peter Guber with the he's a media guy.
Guba.
So, if the NBA is ever going to make huge strides, it might be in the field of technology. Let's face it. I mean, what really built the NFL is it's the best game on TV.
Yes,
it's way better on TV than it is live. That's the poor NHL's problem.
Yep,
the poor NHL has to deal with the fact. Live, they've got the best game, and on TV, they got the worst one.
That's true.
So yeah, that's like technology builds empires. And I think the NBA, this is the beginning of them really investing. All those owners saying, here's where we're going with this, and we're going to own it, and we're going to be the best at it. And even the NFL can't say that.
I'll just say this. I hate 3D. It makes me dizzy in movie theaters. I get it, though. It makes sense. The virtual reality thing makes sense. I'm just not as big into it right now.
It's going to be generational,
yeah.
Right? Like, this is going to be an evolving story over the next few years.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be for guys like you and me.
No.
It's going to be for people who grow up with it.
Yeah,
right?
that's true. We don't care for that. They don't.
And we're never going to. We're never going to care about sports because they look the coolest in augmented reality or virtual reality.
Yep.
But someone's going to.
Yep.
And I think the NBA is so smart in how they're approaching this.
That's an interesting number one, Bob.
Thank you.
Can't wait for the Leafs game tonight against
the Cavs. I know. So exciting. Kuznetsov.
We'll do Leafs in six words for Thursday.
Yep.
And we'll use it to just look back at that game.
Are we going to do it on Thursday? I thought it was always just if it was the night before.
Yeah, you're right. But you're right. But let's face it. Some of our takeaways is going to be what happens tonight's game.
You're right.
MLB playoffs plus Thursday. We'll have a couple games of basketball. The Raptors, their first game is Thursday night against Chicago. So much for Thursday's show.
So we should probably do a Raptors season drinking game as well.
Ooh, great idea.
Okay.
Done.
And if there's any other bits you want us to do, just let us know via our non-existent Instagram account.
That's soon going to be existent.
I'm going to do my, this place right now. If I don't share this with the world, oh my God, there's even more stuff than I'm looking around. I took 7 pictures and I've only captured about half the decorations. Unbelievable.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.